From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. On today's broadcast, we continue a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, He of Tender Conscience. The text is Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse 22. I will judge between cattle and cattle. Some are fat and flourishing, and therefore they are unkind to the feeble. This is a grievous sin, and causes much sorrow. Those thrustings with side and with shoulder, those pushings of the disease with the horn are a sad means of offense in the assemblies of professing believers. The Lord takes note of these proud and unkind deeds, and He is greatly angered by them, for He loves the weak. Is our listener one of the despised? Is he a mourner in Zion, and a marked man because of his tender conscience? Do his brethren judge him harshly? Let him not resent their conduct. Above all, let him not push and thrust in return. Let him leave the matter in the Lord's hands. He is the judge. Why should we wish to intrude upon his office? He will decide much more righteously than we can. His time for judgment is the best, and we need not be in a hurry to hasten it on. Let the hard-hearted oppressor tremble. Even though he may ride roughshod over others with impunity for the present, all his proud speeches are noted, and for every one of them account must be given before the bar of the great judge. Patience, my soul, patience! The Lord knoweth thy grief. Thy Jesus hath pity upon thee.
My hope, my salvation.
How often have you passed a church that displayed a sign which read, Revival, during a given set of dates? Yet how many Christians in this age of megachurches and seeker-sensitive religion have the faintest idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense? Down through the centuries there have been remarkable visitations of God, during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis, including Duncan Campbell's own account of that, as well as personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. To obtain your own copies of what happened at that time, just request the CDs of the Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. As he proceeds with this series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns continues to deal with the theme, the extent and efficacy of the gospel, taking his text from chapter 3, verses 21 through 26. With the words, "but now," in verse 21, Paul began to explain how God can justify sinners and remain true to his righteous character. The answer is found in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, on whom the just wrath of God fell as he hung on the cross as the substitute for guilty sinners. This is the good news of the gospel. Those who believe in Christ are declared righteous in God's sight. This is at the heart of the doctrine of justification by faith, the gospel which Paul preached all over the then known world. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message, the extent and efficacy of the gospel.
I've often quoted the words of Revelation 4 and verse 11, that it's for God's pleasure that we are. Here we come to one of the greatest questions that man can ever face. Why am I here? Why do I exist? Why did God ever give me life? Why am I? We hear an awful lot of existential rubbish today where people are trying to find themselves. Who am I? We had a famous case in a little town called Hollywood in Northern Ireland where a big-time realtor was in a cafe, and they had made it non-smoking, and he went in, sat in the middle and started smoking. The waitress came to him and said, "Sir, we have a non-smoking policy. Would you please put out your cigarette?" And he said, "Okay." She went on and he continued smoking. She came back and told him again. The third time, and finally she went into the owner and pointed him out. So the man who was also the chef and had his hat and all on him, he came out and he said, "I understand my staff has told you two or three times that this is a non-smoking restaurant." And this fellow got really angry and he pushed his chair back and he roared at the owner. He said, "Do you know who I am?" And just like a flash, it's one of those things I would think of about a year later, just like a flash, the owner said, "Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention for a moment? Can anyone help this gentleman? He seems to have forgotten who he is." Rather than getting into all that existential rubbish, who am I? You really don't have too much trouble knowing who you are. Good question to ask is, why am I here? Why am I? And the answer is, it's for God's pleasure. That's why we were created. But because of sin, we come short of that. We lack, we feel to live for the glory of God. And there's no distinction here. It's true of Jew and Gentile, black and white, rich and poor, educated and illiterate, the whole bunch of us. We feel to live for the glory of God. But the word glory has another significance, and it simply means praise. And when you read it this way, how true it is, we fall short, we lack, we are destitute of the praise of God. We may preen ourselves about our self-righteous attainments. We may tell ourselves that we have done very well, thank you, but the Lord is not praising us. We read of priests who preferred the praise of men to the praise of God, and therefore they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps you are just in their category tonight, and you're satisfied with the praise of men. But let me tell you, none of us, by anything that he has ever done, has ever earned the praise of God. Not one. That's true even of our Christian service. Do you remember what Jesus said even to his disciples when they were serving him? This is what you should say to yourself. When we have done all, Now, where's the one among us who has done all? Have you ever done all you ought to do? For I must confess, I haven't. But when you've done all, this is what you should say. We are unprofitable servants. Unprofitable servants. The only thing that earns a Christian any praise for his service is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, who fills our imperfect service with his perfect merit. We fall short of God's praise. That's another way of saying we lie under God's condemnation. All sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. And ultimately they fall short of it because the glory of God, according to Romans chapter 5, verse 2, is a description of eternal life. By Christ, we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in hope of eternal glory with Christ. That's eternal life. All have sinned and all fall short of eternal life. There are no exceptions to this rule. None whatsoever. Archibald Naismith, Scottish Plymouth Brethren evangelist, tells the story of an evangelist many years ago who visited a place called Rookan Glen near Glasgow in Scotland. Those were the days when cameras were not very familiar, at least they weren't very plentiful. They would be carried along, I don't know, some of you may even remember these, the little Kodak brownies, and they'd be carried around in a little brown case. This evangelist had his little Bible in a little brown case. It looked like a camera case. And as he was going through the glen with a friend, a bunch of young people saw him, and they were full of high spirits, and they came up and they said, Sir, would you take our photograph? Quick as a flash. He said, I've already got it here. They couldn't understand until he opened the book at Romans 3 and 23. Said, here's your picture. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Come short. It's strange how foolish people become. We, as Paul warned the Corinthians, we tend to judge ourselves by other people. Have you all heard it? Well, I'm not as bad as he was. I haven't done what he did. I haven't sunk to the depths that he sank to. All that sort of thing. Judging yourself by other people. You can make yourself believe you're almost as saintly as an archangel. But you're not. I read J. Vernon McGee talking about his boyhood pranks in California. If you were to stand, according to him, I have never been there, maybe Craig could tell us, at Santa Monica Pier. Catalina Island is 25 miles away over the water. And he said his boys, they would come and they would run along the pier and they would jump to reach Catalina Island. Some jump for 10 feet. Some jumped for 15 feet. Some of the very athletic might have made 20 feet. But he said, they all fell short of Catalina Island. Multiply that into infinity. And we come short of the glory of God. That's our predicament. There's no difference. But to all such, That's the force of unto all, to all such. God has manifested the gospel of a saving, justifying righteousness wrought by the obedience unto death of Jesus Christ to be received by faith without works. You don't have to jump the distance between your sin and the glory of God. You don't have to span the gulf between you in your sin and God in His glory. The message of the gospel is that God has spanned the gulf. And now He extends that revelation of righteousness unto all of us. But add to that in verse 22 the thought of the efficacy of the gospel, the effectiveness of it. Notice that it says not only is it manifested unto all, but it is upon all them that believe. And commentators have argued for centuries as to why these two very similar prepositions are put together. Unto all and upon all. Some have denied any real difference in them at all, but I don't believe the Holy Ghost is multiplying words to no effect. The truth is, it's not only revealed to all, Jew and Gentile without distinction, but it is upon all them that believe. It is effective only in believers. Do you remember what we read in Romans 1:16? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek or to the Gentiles. Here is the truth, that on every believer God gives a verdict. Upon every believer God stamps the verdict of the court of heaven. And that verdict is righteous. Now the world will look and say, he righteous? I know him. The devil will come along and say, that man, that woman, righteous? Remind him of all the sins and failures. When you go to the Wartburg in Germany, see the room in which Luther did his translation of the German Bible, was held a prisoner, you'll see the desk at which he sat. You'll hear the story that this is where Luther was sitting when the devil came, reminding him of all his sin. And Luther took his ink pot and threw it at the old serpent and said, bring them all and millions more. But the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. He was justified and he knew it. He was declared righteous and he knew it. For this is a verdict upon all believers. And understand this, this is a verdict equally upon all believers. This is where justification differs from sanctification. Sanctification is at different stages of advancement in different believers. We are not all equally holy. We are not all equally mature. We are not all equally wise. We all know that. But you see, justification is our legal standing before God. And it does not depend on our wisdom or our works. It does not depend on the level of our maturity or sanctification. It depends on the fullness and perfection of the merit of Jesus Christ. Can you improve upon perfection? He is made unto us righteousness. Jehovah Tsidkenu, as we sang last Sabbath evening. The Lord, our righteousness. If Christ is my righteousness, I have a perfect righteousness. Can't be bettered. And that's equally true for all. all believers. I want you to see what Paul is saying here. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ never fails to receive the gift of saving righteousness.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.